I'm delighted to be joined on the programme now by Paul Charles. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
Great. And I have in my hand St. Ernan's Blues, an Inspector Stout mystery, which I will be digging into. I haven't had an opportunity to do so yet, but it's quite interesting, you know, the setting being St. Ernan's.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. For this one, I was after a wee bit of an Agatha Christie vibe, and that I wanted to have the majority of my suspects all in the one space. And unlike her, I didn't put them on a boat or a train or in a mansion or castle. I thought it might be good to put them in a priest retirement home. And that kind of, by doing that, I kind of allowed myself to cover all the different aspects of the suspects I wanted in this particular mystery.
And it's interesting because obviously as an adult now, I know St. Ernan's and what it is, but when we were younger in the area, it always did have that little bit of mystique to it. It was down a road that you didn't think...
You're exactly right, Greg. In fact, that's the main reason. I mean, my wife and I drive around there a lot, and again, we kind of came upon it one day by accident, and then I went off, as I do on these things, and kind of and investigated, and has a really, really rich and wonderful history, and parts of it I've kind of woven into the book to try and... I'm always trying to make sure that the books are as real as is physically possible in fiction. And again, you kind of see it. It's very isolated. It's very mysterious. It's kind of not that it's dark or anything. It's kind of very unique in a way, and it's got its own privacy with that kind of... You know, you have to cross the causeway to get onto it, you know.
I love these sort of murder mystery things. Give us the premise of the story, Paul.
The story starts off, well, starts and finishes with a murder. The one at the beginning is that this young novice priest who's there to look after the elderly priest in the St. Ernan's house is slumped in a chair in the kitchen and he's dead. And meanwhile, just behind him on the stove, a pot of potatoes are boiling. And Starrett and his team are called out from Mermelton, and they come up and they decamp into some spare rooms in the house, and they go off to try and discover amongst all the priests or the people associated with the house who may or may not have a motive to lead to this young priest's demise.
How do you write stories like this, Paul? I think everyone would like to be able to, but obviously they can't. Do you have the scenario, the outcome maybe in your head, and then you pad it around, or do you start at the beginning and see where logically it could and should go?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, I think you've hit a spot on that. I write as a reader. The way I work on the books is when I start the books, I really don't know who committed the murder and how they committed the murder. I like to go off, in this case, with Starrett and Starrett's shoes and investigate the murder and you know, go through the process the way a detective goes through the process of trying to discover in this weird and wonderful world who may want to remove this priest from there. So, I mean, I'm kind of always, since I started doing this, I'm always kind of trying to get a wee bit closer or trying to understand how a human being can be of that mindset where they can actually sit down and collate a day, make a decision that, you know, I am going to kill you, I'm going to remove you from this earth. And I kind of I've never got close to understanding how that works. But so what I try and do is I try and come up with a motive that when people are reading the book, they kind of go, yeah, well, okay, I mean, if he really did that, then I kind of guess, you know, and to make it that it's believable, if you know what I mean.
I have a problem with some of the British sort of whodunits, I suppose you could call it, in that there's sometimes there's so many red herrings that the outcome sort of loses its importance, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, the suspect mysteriously appears out of a cupboard at the end of it, and you've never been introduced to him before.
One other question I wanted to ask as it relates to your writing style then, does this mean that you've got loads of half-written books?
No, not at all.
Do you know what I mean by it? That you go through the process and you go, right, I've got myself in a little hole here.
No, actually, I mean, it's funny. I mean, if you trust your characters, and you kind of, I go to the book as a reader to kind of discover what's happening next. And in my own naive way, I'm not even thinking I'm writing what happened next, if you know what I mean. That's there waiting for me to kind of discover it. And Starrett, as the main character, will kind of lead you through it. And if you're prepared to put your faith in his hands, then he will definitely take you through it. And a lot of times I've found myself over the years, I mean, I write every day when I'm working on the first draft of a story from 6 o'clock to 9:30 in the morning. And maybe the night before at dinner, you'll kind of have this idea for a bit of the plot or for one of the characters or a scene or whatever, and the next day when you kind of come around to start to write it, the characters go, no, hang on a minute, I would never do that, I would never say that, you know, and then, but they take you through the way that they would have done it, if you know what I mean.
And because it's based in St. Ernan's and it's a real place, did you have to speak with the owners of it?
The owner very, very kindly a few years ago showed me around the house on the island. Was very, very generous and very gracious with his time. He knew what the reason why I was doing the research, basically. So I say he was very, very kind to me.
Oh, brilliant. Now, where can people get the book? Because this is, I know people are already going to be fans of your Christy Kennedy mysteries, D.I. Christy Kennedy mysteries.
Yep.
They'll know where to get it. But where, just, I think you're supposed to do this in these interviews, aren't you, Paul? Where can you get the book?
I would say, you know, obviously Easton's, obviously, you know, Amazon, you know, the normal places. And I think we did an event last night at McDade's Wine Bar in Gamble Square in Remelton. I think James still has some there as well. They'll know how to get them.
Exactly. And you've had many different strings to your bow. But I want to focus on the book this time. I was going to ask you about your past working with all the fantastic, but maybe we can get you on separately on that. I don't want to sort of...
Okay, no bother.
I don't want to jump from one to the other because I think the book deserves its own spotlight. And there's no doubt it's going to do really, really well for you. Paul, do you be working on your next one now already?
I am indeed, yes. I'm about a third of the way through the next story.
Can you give me anything about where is it based? Is it another Northwest-based book?
No, this one is set in Belfast. It's the second of the Inspector McCusker mystery. And it's called A Day in the Life of Louis Bloom. And the only sad thing is that the day we're referring to is, in fact, the last day of his life.
Okay, very interesting. Paul, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks
can't wait to read the book. And you might come back on again and talk to us about the other aspects of your fantastic life as well.
Would be very happy to, Greg.
Great stuff. Thanks, Paul.